Nina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, good morning.
Now, first of all, can you please explain what the Let Us Speak campaign is all about?
Yeah, sure. So it was originally called the Let Her Speak campaign when we first launched in 2018, and that was to amend similar victim gag laws in both Tasmania and the Northern Territory, which were prohibiting sexual assault survivors from telling their stories under their real names, and they could actually be fined or face jail time if they did that. And we had success in both of those jurisdictions. Tasmania changed their laws in April and the Northern Territory in July. But little did we know that as we were campaigning in those two jurisdictions, Victoria had actually gone backwards. And in February this year, they introduced legislation which also prohibited sexual assault survivors from directly telling their stories to media post-conviction, unless they were willing to go to court first at their own expense and inconvenience. And I can tell you it's not cheap. And obtain a court order which would essentially exempt them from the gag law.
Right.
So, obviously the campaign is about trying to challenge that and saying, well, and I should say that, yes, I'm a journalist, I'm also a survivor, and this is a campaign by survivors for survivors, saying that the right should always be ours as to whether or not we wish to self-identify, and many won't want to do that, and that is absolutely their right and their prerogative, and we always want to protect that and protect privacy. But for those who do want to make the decision to waive their right to anonymity, we believe that that should be their choice, not the courts, and certainly not the perpetrators, as has unfolded in the last 24 hours.
Absolutely. And might I just say, like, as you mentioned, you are a journalist but also a survivor. Really good on you for using your platform for this. I think it's such an important thing and such an important fight, and you've got the platform that you have as a journalist. So just wanted to quickly say good on you for doing what you're doing. But to continue on, why was this such an important project for you to take on?
Well, it's important for me. It's also important for the other campaign partners who are End Rape on Campus and Mark Lawyers and Rape and Sexual Assault Research and Advocacy. We wanted to take it on, I guess, because the nature of sexual assault is that it undermines a person's sense of control and agency and voice and power over their own lives. And that sense of powerlessness is often then exacerbated when they go through the criminal justice system. But then to also have that further stripped of agency and autonomy at the end of that process, and to be told you can't tell your story unless you're willing to go back to court. And as I just flagged, in the last 24 hours, we've just discovered that people who do want to go back to court and get a court order will be forced to seek the views of their own offender as to whether or not they should be given that permission. It's an appalling recreation of the very dynamics of abuse, where the person is being inscribed in an asymmetrical power imbalance against their wishes. And what this does is it re-traumatises people. So for all of us who have taken this on and decided to campaign together, we wanted to do it because I think it's just the logical right thing to do, but also we're talking about individuals who have already been highly, highly traumatised. And in 2020, I mean, then again, it is 2020, so, but, you know, in this modern era, it feels outrageous that we would be denying people this agency.
Of course. And so Victoria will introduce amendments before the end of 2020 to urgently fix this legislation. What was your reaction to this news?
Oh, look, if I'm honest, I'm pretty cynical and jaded at this point because, I mean, they're patting themselves on the back saying we're urgently responding to this, we're urgently rushing through amendments. This was actually first brought to their attention in April by a journalist called Sherelle Moody. Then in May, by news.com.au, so it was April, May, then in June, then again in July, and the response back, you know, across all of those months was absolute apathy, I would describe it as. And it's only been in the last week, because we've blown it up on the front page of the newspaper, that all of a sudden they're going to react. Now, that's not a reaction to the issue. That's a reaction to the bad media. And what's really disappointing for me about that is that a lot of those letters that were being written and that were being sent to them from April, May, June, July, were all written either by survivors or on behalf of survivors. And so it's really disappointing that when survivors were trying to agitate for this reform and bring the issue to them, they didn't respond with the same kind of interest or urgency. And so what we're really seeing now is a very knee-jerk reaction, which is about managing reputation rather than responding to and respecting the needs of survivors, I would argue, being cynical.
Of course, it's very hard not to be cynical, to be completely honest. So what are the next steps from here then?
Well, we don't know. I mean, they've rushed out a press release on Friday night saying that they'll address it by the end of the year, which is good. You know, it's a welcome development. It's a shame that the steps that prompted them to take that, and it's also a real shame that this could have been avoided had they just dealt with it appropriately back when it was first brought to their attention. They haven't outlined what the next steps will be. Now, that's also causing further confusion and anxiety within the survivor community. For example, that they've said that there'll be roundtables. So people now believe that, you know, survivors who are members of the public believe that they will be invited to participate in public roundtables, presumably via Zoom because of COVID. Now, there's no way that they can do that safely or ethically for a whole variety of reasons. Having people share their stories with each other, with no counselling support, where people are in their own homes, where there's no privacy, people could be screen recording, all kinds of things. You couldn't do that. A government body just couldn't do that. In fact, they'd actually be breaking the law if they did that, because if they're broadcasting a survivor's identity to anyone else, they're actually publishing their identity, which would be in breach of the law in many cases. So I don't actually know if they do genuinely intend to consult with survivors. I suspect that what they will probably do is choose a few hand-selected, personally invited, special invite survivors who they are already in contact with on other issues to give feedback. But if that's the case, then they really need to get that message out to the public, because I'm already fielding requests from other sexual assault survivors who have been told there will be public consultations, there will be roundtables, and so they are expecting public consultations and public roundtables. And if that's not going to be delivered, they will once again feel alienated, excluded, and frankly, voiceless in this process, which would be deeply ironic given that this is a campaign which is all about restoring voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And on a final note, and in light of our chat here today, what message would you like to share with the public?
I think my message that I really want to get out there is actually to survivors. And that is, the first thing is, I believe you. You are believed. What you have been through is not your fault, and you are not alone. And if you have been impacted by this particular gag law, I want you to know that there are people working around the clock to try to hold government accountable and get them to fix this as soon as possible, and to not just fix it on the rush or to do a hasty and poor job which introduces yet more mistakes. We want them to do it thoroughly, because that is the only way that they can actually show respect to the survivor community at this point. If there's anyone else out there who's interested in this issue, you know, you can jump onto the GoFundMe, you can share articles, you can have your say, you can sign petitions, etc. But I think the biggest thing is that as a community, we need to stand with survivors and say that their voices matter too.
Very well said. Nina, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really, really, really great to talk about this.
My pleasure.